We're going to have a different scripture reading from 2 Timothy, two portions in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, beginning to read at verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Please join me in prayer. Father, we pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit the truth of your word. May we behold wondrous things from this, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to suggest three themes that I see in these references to Timothy, his mother, and his grandmother. And the three themes are these. First, a godly heritage. It seems to me that that's appropriate for Mother's Day, to think about the godly heritage that comes from mothers and grandmothers. Emily and I have something of a standing joke. She drinks coffee. I drink hot tea. And I say that it all goes back to our grandmothers. She would go to her grandmother's, and her grandmother would serve her coffee with lots of milk and sugar. I actually tease her and say, I think she gave her milk and sugar with a little bit of coffee in it. But anyway, she learned to drink coffee with her grandmother. I went to stay with my grandparents, and when my grandmother would get up, she would make hot tea complete with lemon and sugar and anything I wanted. And so we would sit in the breakfast nook and properly drink our tea and have a little chat together. What good times those were. Those are parts of our heritage in coffee and tea. Now, just a small illustration. No doubt you could say many things in your lives that come from your mother, your grandmother. Further on back, they're part of your heritage. They are a part of making your likes and dislikes. They are a part of who you are. I think every family could give examples of heritage coming from mothers and grandmothers. But I want to shift that a bit and speak about our spiritual heritage. Our spiritual heritage. You see, that is what Paul was talking about. What was in Timothy, spiritually speaking, that came from his mother and his grandmother. It's so important. That also makes us who we are, that spiritual heritage that shapes our character. It motivates us in life. It energizes us. Often, that heritage, that legacy from our mother and our grandmother shapes those things about which we have passion in our lives. In that sense, it energizes us for all of life. It shapes us spiritually because where our heart is, where our passion is, that's where we're going to go. And if we have a heart for God and a passion for God and the things of God, then our lives, our whole lives, every aspect of our life is going to be influenced by that. And often, it's our mothers and our grandmothers who have greatly shaped that heritage, that legacy. And I want to suggest to you, you might have, I imagine most of you have thought about that, but you might think of that just in natural terms, something similar to the fact that Emily drinks coffee and I drink hot tea. And you might think, well, oh yeah, spiritual heritage, yes, we're influenced by our mothers and our grandmothers, but that's just a natural thing. I want to suggest to you, no. In one sense, it is parallel to that, but it is very different from that. It's not just a natural thing. That spiritual heritage and spiritual formation takes place because God has said, I will be a God to you and to your children after you. Because God is faithful, because God makes things happen. If I could be so bold, that spiritual heritage, that spiritual legacy is not a natural thing, but a supernatural thing because God is pleased to work through mothers and grandmothers, using them to shape and mold our lives. It's a God thing. It's a family thing, yes. It's a mother and grandmother thing. And I hope that you will thank your mothers and grandmothers today. But it's a God thing. God uses that. He has promised to be a God to us and to our children. And so He uses our mothers and our grandmothers, our fathers and our grandfathers as well. He uses that as a part of His supernatural plan and purpose to shape us. What a remarkable thing. And for mothers, I think that that gives them a perspective when they're doing those day in and day out things with their children and say, instead of thinking, well, it's the same old routine. No, I would love to be able to put a sign. Just think of this as being an invisible sign. God at work through mothers. That's the truth. God worked in Timothy. Yes, it was through Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother, but it was God at work. It was a supernatural thing. That's what I mean when I talk about a spiritual heritage. The second thing that I want to suggest to you is the fact that there is a godly example. It seems to me that he is reminding him of the example of his mother and grandmother. That's so important. It's so important because children soak up the example. Again, I think you've seen this. I don't believe I have to convince you. Children imitate their parents' mannerisms. They pick up speech habits. I've been told that at least one of my children sounds a lot like me. We didn't sit down to have training lessons. It just happened. Children just pick up those things, and not just outward things, all kinds of things. They're influenced, sometimes consciously, but oftentimes unconsciously. It's just part of what they soak up. That's what children do. They soak up our example. What a great opportunity, what a great responsibility as well. I want to talk about mothers and grandmothers and their examples. Now, there's the general idea, and we could talk about that general idea all through Scripture. Those principles of uh, of of mentoring and imitating, those things that are there in Scripture specifically spelled out. But what I would like to do this morning is to give some specific examples. And it's just a few examples. They may not be the best examples, but that's all right. If they're not the best examples, you think of the best examples and you preach that sermon to yourself later on. Think about prayer. Mothers can be an example of prayer. Not just telling us you ought to pray, but as we used to say when I was a child, mothers teach us our prayers. They teach us our prayers. They teach us prayers that we can remember at mealtime, at bedtime. They expand our prayers. They reinforce those things. Sometimes you get an autograph or some writer. I think there was recently there was a song written by John Lennon. They discovered the original writing out of that, and they were selling that, and it was going to get an astronomical price. Or if you had the first copy of the Gettysburg Address sketched out on the back of an envelope, that would be a priceless thing. I don't have anything like that. I'm not in that category. But my mother is a scrapbook saver kind of person. And the first saved piece of writing from my hand is in that scrapbook. To show you how far it goes back written not on notebook paper like we use later on, but on those tablets like you get in the first grade. Does anybody, they were kind of long way this, and then they had the big lines with kind of a little dotted line in between so you would know how to make the big letters and the little letters like that. It's written on that kind of paper before I started to school. I didn't go to kindergarten. I guess I was slow. But anyway, Mother taught me at home, and the first thing that we have recorded, or first recorded thing, is writing out, printing out, letter by letter, the Lord's Prayer. Does that give you some idea about what was important to my mother? She prayed for me. I'll say more about that later on. She prayed with me. She taught me prayer, my prayers. Mothers can influence us in prayer. It's not just enough to say, oh yeah, prayer's a good thing. It's something to be learned and reinforced. Mothers can influence us by their example in that regard. The same thing in regard to worship. We all say, oh, worship, I know how to worship. No problem. I get there by 11 o'clock, find a seat that doesn't belong to somebody else, and I sit down. But to really enter into worship, somebody has to teach you by their example. And by the way, mothers, I would suggest that sometimes you have to share what's going on in your mind and heart in regard to worship. You might share some aspects of how you enter into worship, what you do, so that your child will understand, so that worship will be meaningful to them, so that they will know the importance and the power of worship. And mothers who do that influence their children. They realize it's more than just checking in and checking out. It's more than just like a spiritual homeroom that we go there and we kill time. If we don't have some assignment that we do, we can play tic-tac-toe or something like that, passing our thing back and forth. No, it's something more than that. And mothers can be an example to shape and teach and encourage our children. Mothers can be an example in regard to persevering in the face of suffering. there is an idea around in the world today, and even in some Christian circles, that everything should be easy and I should get everything I want. You know what I think the biggest antidote to that is? Certainly, God's Word. But practically speaking, the biggest antidote to that is mothers. Not everything that mothers do are quick and easy. And they don't always get just to do what they want to do. Children ought to think about that. When mother's cleaning up the bathroom floor or cleaning out dirty diapers, that's probably not first on her list of what she wants to do in life. And that is an example all through life. And then when there's sickness and difficulty and taking care of loved ones who are critically ill, cleaning up messes, what an example of persevering through the hard places of life. An example that we need to learn for life. An example that we need to learn for spiritual development. That sometimes God puts us in hard places. As one of my good friends said, his grandmother told him when he said, "I don't like this. I don't want to do this." She said over and over again so that he remembered. Doing what we don't like builds character. How would you like a grandmother that said that to you all the time? But it stuck with him. There's a spiritual principle. Learning to persevere in the face of difficulty, even in the face of suffering. Often that's exactly what God uses to teach us and shape us. And mothers, I think, probably more than anyone, give a day-to-day living example of that. They put others first. It's a great biblical teaching. Paul teaches it in many places, but in Philippians 2, he says, "Have this mind in you that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, who took on the form of a servant." He goes on to say, "Think of others as better than yourself. Put them before yourself as better than yourself." That is, putting others first. Can anyone think of a better example as a class than mothers of putting the needs and the concerns of others first? But let me give you this flash. That's something that God wants, not just for mothers, but for all of us. Now, He's given us mothers so we can learn that, but we're all supposed to learn that, of putting others first. Oh, if we could watch that and see that. And often they don't make a big deal of it. We may not even notice it because they do it so quietly and so willingly, but it's there. Could add, it's not only there, putting others first, but putting others first with the right spirit. What a testimony that is. What a wonderful biblical principle of putting others first. Not taking the easy way, not taking the selfish way, but doing for others. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." You see, there's the picture of mothers as mentors, models, examples, ultimately of Jesus Christ. Particularly with younger children, we say, okay, what are you to do? Everything that God says, who are you to be like? Jesus Christ. Well, that's a tall order. Where can they start? They can start by looking at their mama or their grandmama who is following Jesus Christ and imitate them in their character, in their words, and in their deeds. What a great testimony. What a great example for those of us who have godly mothers. And that brings me to the last thing that I want to share with you. Teaching the faith. Not just as an example, but teaching the faith. I think sometimes it's the idea, well, they're examples and that's all that's needed. But notice what Paul said. This is in a different section of the book, but it applies this, applies here. He says to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Now, if we just had that verse, we might think, oh yeah, the great Christian teacher, he had followed Paul, and so Paul must have been talking about himself. But notice what he says. Continue what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. That was before Paul came along. Had to be somebody else. Who would that be? Why, it was his mother and his grandmother. You see, it's not just teaching your children to believe. You've got to tell them what to believe. You have to teach them. How do you do that? And I'm going to compress this a little bit because I think there's some things that you understand. You've got to teach them the Bible stories. Mothers understand about that. Mothers do that. You ought to teach them some systematic thing. I would suggest something like the catechism that we encourage our children and our mothers and fathers to use. Teach them through the catechism. Give them some content there of what it is that we believe. And of course, teach them about character. What it means to have a godly character. And then, for the last two things, I'm not going to stretch those out, but I do want to stretch these last two things out. Teach them the object of faith. Not just the facts, but what it means to trust in Jesus Christ. Not just the answer. Children can learn early that they're supposed to answer in Sunday school when most of the questions, you know, the old story, the teacher talked about a small gray animal that goes around in trees and stores up nuts and he has a bushy tail. What is it? And the child said, well, it sounds like a lot like a squirrel, but I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus. You know, everything is supposed to be Jesus. It's so important that children learn not only the answer, that Jesus is the answer, but learn what it means to delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that know the facts, that know that Jesus is the answer, but they have never seen what it means for a person to delight in Jesus Christ. What a powerful teaching that is when mothers not only tell us the Bible stories and the things that God wants us to do, like worship and prayer, but it is evident that she delights in Jesus and so she delights in following after the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, along those same lines, teach the energizing force of the truth of Christianity. Jesus, yes, but Jesus whose power and grace transforms lives. Teaching the power, the grace. Let me add another thing. The power, the grace, the joy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we need young Christians to understand that mature Christians experience the power, the grace, the joy. Don't get so weighed down with living that you forget the joy of Jesus Christ. the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are young people excited about superheroes? All of the things that Batman or the Green Hornet or Superman or whoever Spider-Man like that can do? Well, give them some sense of excitement. This is what Jesus does so that ordinary people can live extraordinary lives by His power and His grace, and they live that not with a sense of drudgery but joy. I think back of my mother and the wonderful things that she taught me, but I guess with all of that, I couldn't begin to list all the different things. There was such joy in the work she did. She did so many different things. I guess still, to my way of thinking, very few compare with my father and mother in terms of being hard-working people. I look at their lives, their work, and I look at my own, and I still feel like I'm a slacker in regard to what they did, just working day in and day out and beyond the job, doing for others. Such workers. And that was impressive. But I want to tell you something else. As I reflect upon that, that came through clearly. But as I think about their working, something else comes to mind. It's not just that they work so hard for so many different people on so many different projects, but that they did it with such joy and enthusiasm. What a testimony. They didn't do it as drudgery because they had to. They did it with joy. Often with my mother, with singing or humming or whatever. As we did different things and with funny stories along the way. I can't help myself in regard to stories because that's part of my heritage. The joy with which they live lives. The grace that I saw at work in their lives. We need to show our children not just facts, not just do's and don'ts, but the energizing power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a living Savior. Yes, it's important that we know the stories of Jesus, that we trust Him, but also that we experience the power and the grace, the joy of Jesus Christ, as Paul says to Timothy, reminding him, He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love. Self-control. What love. What joy. What grace is demonstrated in the lives of a godly woman. And I want to close with a personal testimony, and some of you have heard this, and you'll just have to forgive me. Some of you may not have heard it. I was not planning to be a minister. I thought I was going to be an engineer. I thought that was what God wanted me to do because I was good at numbers. And then, frankly, I thought numbers were a lot easier to manage than people. People were pesky. Numbers were good, respectable, trustworthy. But I was involved in my church and the youth of my church and things they did, going to Waterfront Mission and leading worship service and just all of the things, the youth program. And through a number of circumstances, more and more over a period of about 6 months, I felt called and constrained that God would have me change. I couldn't figure that out. Why had I taken advanced math? Why had I already gone through analytical geometry and calculus? You know, couldn't you have told me sooner before I go through all that? I did well, but it was a lot of work. But I felt constrained by that. And so I shared with my parents. My father gave a wonderful response, but I'm not going to tell you about that, a short, wonderful response. I'll say that for another occasion. I told my mother, and she supported me too, but she didn't say a whole lot. She waited for about 3 or 4 months. And then I was making plans for what I was going to do to pursue this call. She said, I want to share something with you. And this is what she shared. Now, most of you know that I have an older brother, 8.5 years older than me. Maybe not as many know that there was another brother, David Jeffrey Reeves, who died just a few days old. That brother came in between. That was on my parents' mind when they found out they were pregnant with me. My mother shared this. She had been to a ladies' circle meeting at Ms. Sweet's house just around the corner. I'd been there myself with her. And at this circle meeting, they were studying the story of Hannah. And the pregnancy and what had happened before was heavy on my mother's mind. And she told me that at that time, she prayed and said that if God would give her a healthy child, she would give that child back to the Lord. She had never told me that. She had never pushed me in that direction, except by her example, by her love, by her godly living, and by her trust that God would take care of the rest. God works graciously, powerfully, supernaturally, through mothers and grandmothers. How thankful we are that that's part of God's plan. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the blessings upon blessings that you have given to us through godly mothers and grandmothers. Continue to bless them and bless us through them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and receive God's blessing by faith? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen.